Let us pray. O God, the Father of light, who by the entrance of your word gives us light to our minds, grant to us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that being taught by the words of the Bible, we may receive with faith the words of eternal life and be made wise to the wonders of your saving love and grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I was visiting the United States of America a few years ago in the city of Baltimore on the eastern seaboard, I was in a restaurant for some lunch. I was taken to my seat by the waiter who introduced herself to me. When she returned to take my order, which I gave, she then asked me, "So where in Germany do you come from?" I had not said Guten Tag or even that John F. Kennedy phrase, "Ich bin ein Berliner." And I immediately, in that very Scottish way, said, "I'm not Scottish. I am Scottish, I should say. I am Scottish. I'm not German." With no offense to Germans. In another restaurant, and this time in Princeton, I had a similar experience. However, this time, the waiter inquired which part of Australia I hailed from, and I had not whistled Waltzing Matilda or had corks around my head. Again, I said, "I'm Scottish. I am not Australian." I started to have a complex that I was going around that they must think I'm Australian or German wherever I'm going. I think we all want to make sure people know where we have come from and so they get it right. I'm sure Australians or Germans wanted others to know that they were Australian or German and that they had not come from Scotland. If you're a football fan and you come from a city with two football teams, then it's wise to be diplomatic and ask whether you are a Dundee or Dundee United supporter, rather than saying, "Well, you'll be a Dundee United supporter," and certainly making an enemy of me rather than a friend. There are ways of making friends, and there can be ways of making enemies. We all have names which we attach to ourselves beyond the Christian names and surnames which we have been given. We attach other labels to ourselves. So yes, we are John or Jean, and then we are Scottish, British, Aberdonians, Liverpudlians, we're Hearts or Hibs supporters. We have all different kinds of labels to our name. Some we choose, and others, well, we're just given these names. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, gave this name. "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." "There is the Lamb of God," says John the Baptist. What do you think of that label for Jesus Christ, our Lord? Do you think Jesus would be pleased? The Lamb would not be everyone's idea of a great name for a leader. For leadership, we normally think of a lion because he exhibits power and strength. The lion is, after all, the king of the jungle. Yet John the Baptist picks a lamb and not a lion. Does the name Lamb of God for Jesus, does that put you off or does that attract us? For some, the lamb is a symbol of weakness, an animal for the downtrodden. Who would want to follow a lamb is our question, even if it is the Lamb of God. Would it not have been better for John the Baptist to have called Jesus the Lion of God rather than the Lamb of God? There is a problem, though, with the lion. We do not associate the lion with anything that is kindly and warm. The lion will bite your head off. And the lion would, if you decide to get too close, will devour you. Yet kings liked to have the title lion. There was the Scots king, William the Lion, and the English monarch, Richard the Lionheart. Their courage and bravery earned them these labels. Jesus would not be such a king. His title would be the Lamb of God. For Jesus came to conquer the hearts and minds of people, not with the sword, but with the love of God, with the forgiveness of God, with the goodness of God. This is the Lamb of God's army. Jesus, the Lion of God, would be a warrior who would conquer people with the power of armed force. The English monarch, Queen Elizabeth I, said, "God forgive you, but I never can." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this cannot be done by the power of kings, queens, presidents, or prime ministers. As Alexander Pope, the English poet, said, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." John the Baptist knew, as did Jesus, the people needed a lamb and not a lion. The people had seen the power of the Roman Empire in their lives. They knew only too well the lion of oppression. Now they needed to know the Lamb of God. William Blake, the English poet, said, "The glory of Christianity is to conquer by forgiveness." Surely it is the same today. It is the Lamb of God which needs to touch our hearts and persuade people that God loves them and forgives them. This is the simple message of Jesus Christ our Lord. The lion cannot persuade or touch the lives of people, for he does not possess the love and the forgiveness of God. The Lamb of God, by his love and forgiveness, does. The Lamb of God persuades us to follow him, to know him, and to accept his forgiveness into our own lives. The Lamb of God will not force us to follow him or compel us to accept his love and forgiveness. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the 19th century English poet, married Robert Browning, and her father did not approve of their marriage. Elizabeth Barrett Browning sent letters to her father for over 10 years trying to persuade her father of the love and devotion she had for her husband and the love she also had for her mother and her father. One day, a box was delivered to their address, and in it were all the letters Elizabeth Barrett Browning had posted to her father over 10 years, and they were unopened. Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch Christian who assisted Jews escape from the Nazi concentration camps and herself was in prison, said, "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred." The Lamb of God posts to us all letters of love and forgiveness. Every day we get these letters posted to us. But the Lamb of God won't force any of us to open these letters. It is by opening our hearts, our minds to the Lamb of God, we discover the love and the forgiveness of God. The Lion of God, as a name, may hold an attraction because of the lion's power to order and compel us to do things. You will open that letter and you'll do it now. If I suggested next Sunday we'll all go on a trip to Edinburgh Zoo, and by the way, I've arranged a special treat for you all. We're all going to go into the lion's cage together. Then you would be saying, John does not know his Christian history. Christians in the past knew all about lions because they were Sunday lunch. However, if I said, next Sunday, I've organized a trip, and we're going to a farm, and we're going into a field, and it's populated by lambs, I think we'd all go into that field. It is the Lamb of God who loves and forgives us. It is into the field of the Lamb of God we invite everyone, and not the lion's cage. Thomas Edison was the American genius who invented the electric light bulb. When Edison and his team made their first light bulb, it had taken them over 24 hours of exhausting work. When Edison finished his first light bulb, he asked the young lad who had helped him and his team in their workshop to place this precious light bulb on the desk in his office. As the young lad was given the light bulb, he stumbled on the stairs into Edison's office. And all that Edison and his team heard was the smash of glass. Then they heard the weeping sounds of this young lad. Thomas Edison didn't say anything to the young lad at all. He proceeded to work along with his team on a second light bulb. When it was completed and fully working, Edison called the young lad over and asked him to take the precious light bulb to his office. Desmond Tutu, the South African Anglican clergyman who received the Nobel Peace Prize, said, "Forgiveness says you are given another chance to make a new beginning." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When we let the light bulb of Christ fall and it's smashed upon the ground, it is the Lamb of God who comes alongside us and offers his love, his forgiveness to us. It is the Lamb of God who loves us, who keeps on saying to us, "Follow me, because I love you and forgive you. No matter how many times you drop that light bulb, I am going to stand by you, I'm going to be along with you, and I'm going to keep on saying, 'Follow me, because I love you and forgive you.'" When we think we need a roaring lion in our lives, then stop and think again. Maybe we need the Lamb of God in our lives. At the end of the Second World War, a German Protestant bishop was arrested by the Nazis and put into prison. In the loneliness of his prison cell, he heard another prisoner whistling the hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." He whistled back a line, and they began to whistle that hymn together in their imprisonment. And the bishop began to realize he was not alone in his cell. He knew the presence of Christ was with him, as did his fellow whistling prisoner. These prisoners did not need the roar of a lion. They needed the loving and forgiving presence of the Lamb of God. May we discover in our own lives the presence of the Lamb of God, and through his presence, the love and the forgiveness of God. As John the Baptist said, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May we know that Lamb of God in our own lives, this day and forevermore. Amen. And now let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May we allow that Lamb to enter into our heart, mind, and souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.